So how's everybody doing today, all right? Awesome, I'm excited. And so, yes, so our series is called Viral. And I got the idea from the fact that we have these two people that are running for president that basically, I never thought that one was gonna run, and I didn't even know the other one. Who heard of Bernie Sanders before like a year and a half ago? Anybody? No one heard of Bernie Sanders before that. Yet, this guy, he's gone viral. He's gone viral because of social media, right? He has 2 million followers there. And what is that? What is this thing? He has a saying. He has a simple message, and it's a future to remember. And then we probably all know Donald Trump. He has 8 million followers on Twitter, and his is Let's Make America. Yes, you might not even support him, but you know it, right? I'm not voting for that bum, but you know the slogan. What's happened here is that this has gone viral. It's gone totally viral. So having something go viral means taking it, starting with one person and spreading it to, here, I'm giving you the cooties over here. You got it, and now you're going to pass it on somewhere else. And we see all these time. I'm an internet stalker, but it doesn't sound right. I shouldn't say it like that. Well, I like to go on YouTube to watch all these crazy videos, and some of these crazy videos go viral, and I think some of them are stupid. How did that thing get, I'm trying to go viral with Oasis. How did this stupid thing with this little kid picking his nose get 10 million, and I only got 100, you know, because it's gone viral. And we're going to see today, it's a six-week message series, but we're going to be talking about the amazing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How the gospel is actually a viral message. How in the world? So it all starts with one person. And just a little thing. There it is right there. I love that little thing right there, little stick figures. Did I do a good job? I didn't do that, but I can't even do that. I'm horrible at it. But see how it all starts with one person. So God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus, his boy, to earth. He's that one person. And then he spread it over to his disciples. And then it became viral. And then all of a sudden it spread to other people and other people and other people. Amazing. Think about it. In the day, this is now the first century. Think about it now. This gospel, this message, this simple message, basically, in fact, the opponents of Jesus said, man, you guys have turned the whole world upside down. That means that the message went viral when you turned the whole world upside down. How in the world? They didn't have any internet. Imagine, put yourself, no, what would I do without my iPhone, right? And this is crazy stuff. None of this going on. They had no internet. They didn't have even any kind of really, no TV, no radio communication. Yet, how in the world did it go viral? But it went viral. Isn't that amazing? When you think about it, kind of amazing. Crazy, amazing thing. So this is we're going to talk about that today. Basically, as someone who's involved with internet marketing myself, basically there's four things. How do things go viral? Because I always want to, I got to get something viral because then I can make a lot of money or I can get the word out. And there's four things. The first thing is, there should be a slide there, is it's a simple message. And some people will say it's the only message. A lot of people say, Now I'm looking at now the example, and go with me with the analogy. Both Bernie and Trump, they have a simple message, right? Some people would say it's their only message. Make America great again, like a slogan, right? What does that mean? Make America great again. Bernie, you know, a future to believe in. Sounds good, right? It's a simple message. And the second thing is that, notice it satisfies a need. Somewhere in the hearts of people who are listening to this message, whether you, and I'm like neutral, but whether you're a supporter of Trump, let's make America great again. It means something to them. It's somehow meeting a need. Yeah, I agree with that. Let's make America great again. Or Bernie says, you know, a future to believe in. Yeah, I want a future to believe in, and whatever it is. So they identify with that, and somehow it's meeting a need in there, and that makes it viral. And it's amazing. I find it gives me hope as a 57-year-old guy. Wait a minute, I'm cheating myself. I'm only 56. Don't be going there, 56. But I'm wondering, gee, a 74-year-old goat can attract thousands of 20-somethings. I think that's pretty cool, so that he could do that. I'm going, how in the world is he doing that? It's viral. It's viral. Like, if you look at them, there's nothing in them, right? I mean, people, Hillary's going, what in the world is going on? I thought this was going to be easy. And then you have him out there, you know, both hands going, like rumpled, you know, clothes and all like that. And somehow he's getting all these folks because his message went viral. Simple message. And then social networks. That's up there. Social networks. Of course, we just talked about it, the Twitter and feed. But it's also people, right? 6 degrees of separation. 6 degrees of separation where that person tells this person, oh, I know your father. Yeah, we went to school together. Oh, that's cool, bro. Yeah, that's right. Awesome. You come to the picnic next week? He's coming to the picnic. You all coming to the picnic next week, right? Get the word out. We want this thing to go viral, okay? It has to go viral, all right? We promise we won't give you some virus if you eat some of the food. You guys are, she doesn't like my message, see? I didn't connect. But, yeah, that's going to be awesome. But it's social networks. So here we're going to see, in the scriptures we're going to be studying today, we're going to see all these in action of how to make something viral, how Jesus made his message viral, social networking and so forth and so on. And finally, significant impact. If you're going to be marketing something, it has to have affected someone somewhere. It has to say, yeah, I really like that product. Man, that thing helped my, I have a bad hair day, could you tell? I really do have a bad hair day. It's one of those humid days, you know, and it's like the hair's flipping that way, whatever hair I have. It's flipping this way and that way. But I love that product you gave me, son. I am going to send that off to my friend. You got to check this out, bro. It actually grows hair and helps us. You know, it's awesome stuff and so forth. That's what it means by significant impact, that the message somehow affects you so deeply that it changes you in a way that you get all excited about it, in a way that you just, like, it puts a spring in your step and you're so excited to share. And that's why you see rabid followers of, I'm talking about Bernie and Trump, you see these rabid followers of both sides. Interestingly, both of these guys are outside what we would call the establishment. And this is something, if you're following, I love politics, I haven't voted in 32 years. I know, don't hate on me, you have your own skeletons. I know, hey, I'm watching. But the point I'm trying to make is these two guys, they're totally outside of the establishment, which is fascinating in itself. It's almost impossible to become president if you're not in the in crowd, in the establishment. It's impossible. They have all the structure, the leadership structure. They have everything going in the systems and so forth. And somehow, these two guys have been able to get all this support, all this news, all this everything, because they've somehow went viral and they were able to do that. I find that fascinating. And you have pundits out there going, we don't understand why Trump's, he's such an idiot, but we don't understand how it's going on, but he's getting all this stuff. Or we don't understand Bernie, this is crazy message, he's a comic, but he's getting all this viral message out in society. And I want you to remember that they're outside the establishment, because that's a very important thing. Because I see a lot of analogies here, not with the politics of either one of those guys, but with some of the things that Jesus was involved with and how his message went viral. And he wants us to go viral. You know, he says, you shall be my witnesses. And I want you guys to get pumped up and excited. And I want you to start here in Jerusalem, and then I want you to go to Judea, and I want you to go to Samaria, and then I want you to go all over the world with this amazing viral message. You know, the gospel is viral. The gospel is a viral message. It's a totally viral message right there. And Jesus is a radical. You think of these two guys that you're running. Jesus is the greatest known radical in the world. He had a message that was so radical, so scandalous, so out of the box, so anti-establishment that they killed him for it. And it's amazing. And so I want you to get the picture here. We're going to be in, if you don't have a Bible, we have the message guide up there and also on the internet here. I sent some of you guys, if you're on our list, I sent you the slide. But from now on, try to use this if you could get in it. But We're going to be in Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. And let's set the scene here. And it's right up there. So basically, Jesus had just recently healed a paralytic. And somehow, his message has gotten out. Now remember, no internet, no anything, but his message has gone out and you have hundreds of people, probably a couple thousand people following Jesus. He's walking along the Lake of Capernaum and he's right there and right there, boom, you can see it right there. And in fact, can you guys read that for me together on a count of three? Can we read God's word and honor God that way? It's just three, four verses. So I'll count, ready? One, two, three. Was one more verse, just two more verses, but forget about it. You're boring me already, you guys. That would not go viral right there, I don't think. It sounds like too monotone. There's not excitement. It's, you know, it's not there. Doesn't no significant impact there. I think, I think not. But anyway, that's the rest of it. So check it out. So what we have here is Jesus walking along, and all of a sudden, now there's thousands of people, right? He's walking along, but yet he determines to stop in front of this one guy called Levi, who was about to become a dude called Matthew. This guy's life was about to be transformed by a viral message. And out of all the people in the world, all the people out there he could have stopped, Jesus chose to stop in front of this guy. And unless you're going to miss it if you don't really understand the radical impact that this is going to have on this society, and in this society where we are right now, it all centers around this tax collector by the name of Levi. You have to understand who a tax collector was in that day. It wasn't just anybody. A tax collector was looked on by the Jewish nation as a traitor. Most of the time, they were Jews that the Romans bought out. And the Romans, because the Romans didn't want any hassle, so they say, hey, you become the tax collector. Hey, we'll make a deal. We'll charge a certain tax. Some things never change, do they? With the IRS. It's like those no good, rotten. But anyway, we'll charge. Hey, it's my money. Anyway, we'll charge tax. And you could charge up to four times more. And we don't care. You could pocket it for yourself. Isn't that a great deal? That's what the tax collectors did. So everybody, if you're a tax collector, you were loaded. You were hated. You were considered a traitor by that. But hey, at least you're rich, right? And did you hear that? I heard something over there. And so that's the situation. And not only this guy's a tax collector, according to the laws at that time, they were not even allowed in the synagogue. They were excommunicated from the synagogue, from the Jewish leaders. And also, what's going on over there? And also, even their family, if their family was around, they couldn't go to the synagogue either. They were essentially cut off from God, according to the Jews at that time. There was no chance of them getting to heaven at all. Even if you touched something that a tax collector owned, you couldn't be, you were unclean, according to Jewish law. So understand the slime. They were considered lower than low. They were considered on par with the prostitutes, with the whores, with the people who were the lowest at that echelon in that society, the untouchables. And so that's what a tax collector was. And look what's going on here. Jesus, the Son of God, Almighty God, stops in front of this tax collector and says one simple message. Follow me. That's his slogan. Not make America great again. Not a future to believe in. All he says is, follow me. And amazingly, this guy, and this story is in three gospels, so that means it's very important. This guy gets up and follows Jesus. And you can imagine what happened. This caused a crazy amount of commotion because of who that person was. I want you to think of right now, in your mind right now, I want you to think of the slimiest, dirtiest, rottenest person that you know. Maybe you know them personally. If it's your wife sitting next to you, you can't say anything, right? Just give me the eyes and I'll know what you're saying. But think of that person. You could go to the next slide. And think of that person. And then think of that person becoming a believer in Jesus Christ. Think of that. Think of the life change that person is going to have. You could change the slide, dude. Yeah. And think of what effect that would have. Think of what people would say. Think of what would go on. Because, you know, there's a lot. So many people. This is. If you could get this, if you could understand this, this is the amazing message of the gospel, that Jesus, he went against the establishment by choosing the rejected and the dirty. He went where no one else would ever go. He stops right in front of this person. And if you could understand, this is the wonderful grace of God. This is the gospel in a nutshell, that God the Father sent his son Jesus to us sinners. Us sinners who were lost and pain and just down and out and were dirty and slimy and scummy. But Jesus came to us and he forgave us. He cleansed us. He gave us a new life. He gave us a reason to live again. What an amazing message this is, but it's going to get even deeper than that in a second. So he did that. And there's this great scripture. I love this scripture in Romans 5:8. It says, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for our sins. This is crazy amazing because many of us, myself included, and I know people, I get calls almost every week from people, but I used to feel like this. God, and maybe you make deals with God too. God, I'm going to come to you someday, God, but I first need to clean my act up first. Yeah. I know, you know, I'll go out and maybe I'll get a suit and I'll come to Mass. I grew up going to Mass and right down the street. And yeah, I'll do that. I'll go to my catechism. I'll go to my confession. Then I think I'll be ready to have you in my life, God. You ever meet people like they feel like they have to earn their way with God, or they're just not quite good enough? Even as believers, some of us live in this bondage, this false gospel where we feel after you sin, you feel like there's something you have to do to earn your way back into your heavenly daddy's graces again. And how sad that some of us grew up in homes where we're trying to earn our way with our mom and dad. I know there's some of us that are like that, where it's never good enough. And you're trying to earn dad's love or mom's love, and that love never comes. And so we transfer that onto God. But you have a God that loves you unconditionally. You have a God that there's nothing you can do. The gospel, the whole amazing scandal and beauty of the gospel, there's nothing you can do to earn your way with God. He already looks on you with love. He loves you before, see, Romans 5:8, he loved us before we even came to him. This is such a critical message. The difference between this and religion. Religion teaches you have to earn your way with God. It teaches you have to do certain things. It teaches, you know, only certain people can be in here. And, you know, it's sad. I get calls all the time from people. I had this Hindu woman call me recently, and she says, David, hi, I read about your church, and I like the messages, and I like what I see, all the night people seem happy, and so forth, and am I allowed to come? I thought that was so cute and then sad at the same time. I go, of course you're allowed to come. Of course, this is free. And she says, and then she said, does it cost anything? I don't know why she would say that. I get calls all the time. I get calls from the gay people calling me all the time. Homosexuals call me all the time saying, you know, would I be welcome in this church? And would it be okay if I came here? And I say, of course you could come here. These doors are open to everyone. The gospel is open to everyone. Jesus died for everyone. Jesus came, it says his whole mission, talk about a mission statement, his whole message is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's so simple, right? A simple message. So whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And I get people sometimes, one person came to me and they came and she said, I was certain that the place would just fall down after I got in here. She said, I was certain this place would just burn down because you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the things that I've done. I just feel so unclean. And she said, I just feel so out of place. And I said, you don't have to feel out of place here. These people are all crazy. and they're all sinners. I know you're skeletons, you know. Are we not all sinners here? But what? Forgiven sinners, right? Redeemed sinners. People in the process, right, of being. So I want you to understand this radical message. And I love the fact that we're a grace-based church. Now, just so you don't misunderstand, we believe something called S-I-N, which is sin. We're all sinners. We all are in desperate need of forgiveness and repentance. But the message is there. Jesus is there on the cross like this. And that's what's so amazing. You know, and you don't have to know everything. I'm sure Matthew, who became Matthew, he didn't know everything. I'm sure he didn't. Notice that Jesus didn't even explain the gospel to him right there. He just said, come, follow me. Hey, just follow me. Just come. And there was something in Matthew's heart that just urged him on to follow Jesus. Do you know there are people that you see, that slimiest person I want you to think of right now, that are dying for a change in their life. They're dying. Their hearts are breaking. They may look successful on the outside. Oh, they may wear great clothes, and they may be laughing, and they may be successful by world standards, but there's something inside that's just yearning for a change. They're empty inside, and they're wondering, is there any more meaning in this life? Or they're feeling dirty and slimy, and they're tired of it, but they don't know what to do, and they're hopeless. Do you understand the power, the viral power of the gospel, what it could do to a life when that happens? That's exactly what these four verses are probably the most important, in my mind, some of the most important verses in the whole Bible. Because if we as Christians, and some of us are probably not Christians here, you'll have an opportunity to receive Jesus. If we understand the mercy and the grace and the scandal and the absolute power of this message, then our whole lives could be changed. There's power in the message. There's amazing power to change a life from slime and down and out to eternal life. That's the message of Jesus. So here we are, and we're right here, and we see Matthew. He takes it, and now this is amazing. I love this. Then the very next thing we see happening is this. You know, when there's someone who understands God's grace in a life, that life becomes contagious, becomes viral. I love meeting new Christians. You know, I love meeting new Christians. I love meeting old Christians that are still excited about Jesus. Most Christians are just, they know they believe in Jesus, but somehow, somewhere along the way, they slid back into a life not of grace, but a life of like drudgery. I'm going to church because Pastor Dave says I have to go to church. I never said that, but you should go to church. Anyway, where I just slid into this mediocre life instead of this powerful life, instead of this viral life, instead of this life where people look and go, man, whatever he has, I want one of those. That kind of life. And somehow it happens, but I love meeting new believers, people who have just experienced the grace of Jesus because they're so excited to know Jesus. It's just so amazing to know. And I remember, I wasn't a churchgoer, but I grew up Catholic, but I didn't go to Mass all the time. But when Jesus became real, when I understood the gospel message, man, I was so excited. I just went out, I just had to tell everybody, you know. I told my friends, and we used to all party together. And I said, you got to check Jesus out. I mean, he's amazing. I mean, he changed my life around. He He forgave me. I was down and out, and I was at the end of my rope, but he gave me a new beginning, a new life, and I shared with everyone I knew, and everyone started picking on me. I didn't even care if they picked on me. They started calling me Rev, and I thought that was funny. That's the last thing in my mind that I'd ever think I'd be as a pastor. Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? But anyway, the point is that I'm so excited, and guess what? When you're excited about the message, it becomes viral because people see it. Oh, wow, significantly impacted my life. And then, you know, it just can't be held in a box. The gospel message is unstoppable. The gospel message is something so powerful. This power, in fact, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's the good news that Jesus died and rose again, because it is the power, dunamis, the power of God, the dynamite of God to save us, to change us. And so he's excited. So this guy, Levi, he couldn't keep his mouth shut. 1 second, it's crazy. A couple of minutes before, he's in his sin. Now remember, he was actually committing, doing things wrong at the moment Jesus came up to him. He was actually tax collecting. A lot of us think that, again, you don't have to clean your act up to come to Jesus. You just need to open your heart to Jesus, let him clean you up. That's the whole gospel right there. But the amazing thing is that the effect it's had is immediately we see from the other in Luke, somehow Jesus ends up at the house. I love this. He ends up at a house with many sinners and tax collectors. You could go to verse 16. No, go to the one before that, the last part of that. You see, this is how it became viral. He was impacted. So, hey, you got to come to my house. I'm having this guy Jesus over. We're going to have a party, and you can come over. I know you're a whore. It's okay. I know you're a shoplifter. It's okay. I know you're this and that and you're slime, but it's okay. Don't worry. He's not like the other Pharisees. He's different. He's outside the establishment, you see. He has a different message, you see. He has a life-changing message, you see. Look, I'm standing in front of you here, whole, because of this man. You have to come see this and come as you are. Don't worry about it. Come dirty. It's okay. Don't clean up for Jesus. You don't have to. Don't do that. You just come here. We're going to have a party. Bring your booze if you want. Go on. Bring it. Don't laugh, because it was a tax collector's house. And these guys came, and they came as they are. So probably there was prostitutes there, and now they're reclining, eating together, right? They're chilling out. There's probably lots of booze there, song. And here's Jesus. This is crazy. This is the viral message here. And here he is in the middle of all these people, being himself, enjoying the people, loving on the people, and just having a great time. I wish I was a fly on the wall there. Don't you wish you were a fly on the wall? I wish I was. And these guys are just being who they were, sinners. But Jesus was right here with them and spending time with them and loving them for who they are, where they are, but coming with a powerful, viral message of life change. I never forget when we... I crack up with this because it's true. A couple of you might have been there, Greg, you might have been there. We threw this picnic. We did this thing called Alpha. Anybody care about Alpha course? Well, we started Oasis with Alpha. You just throw dinners for all the pagans all over the place, and whoever could come. And then you just say, I want to have dinner with you, and we're going to chill and get to know each other, like we're going to do with our picnic here. Hey, invite all your pagan friends to this picnic, all right? We'll have a ball. Have a blast. But anyway, we had this thing, and we're, it warms my heart to think about this memory. So we're just having a party. We had about 20, 30 people, and this course, you see, is like a 10-week course, and all you do is you have a meal together. Is this something amazing, bro? It's something very intimate about food, and Jesus was eating with these guys. He's eating with people who could have murdered people. Here's Jesus in the middle of all this. And so forth, and having a good time and so forth. And this course is 10 weeks, and during the 10 weeks, you just get to know each other, and you start talking about things. How does God, who is God? Who's Jesus? How can I be forgiven? And so forth. And only until the fourth week do you even pray. Only until the fourth week. It's the 3 hours you meet each week. And I was always amazed how these guys would come back every week. Every single week they would come back to eat food. We would make all the food for them. And I was always amazed, why are these people coming back to us? They don't believe anything we believe. And one guy even said, who actually is a member of our church now, John Grimes, he said, don't think I'm coming back the next week. I'm only came here for the food the first week. And because this, my friend here, a Matthew, you know, invited me to come because she was all excited about this Jesus guy. But I only came for the food. Anyway, he kept coming and coming and coming. He got saved and became a Christian and so forth. And that's an amazing story. But 7 weeks into the course, we had this volleyball tournament. And they're playing volleyball. And then one dude, his name is Michael, he runs up behind one of the dudes. Now there's girls and guys in it. He runs up behind one of the dudes and he rips down his shorts, exposing him to all the people. If you can imagine that scene. And I'm going, what? I'm looking at, I think you might have been there. I'm going, what the heck? What's going on around here? What's wrong with you people? And he looks at me and he goes, and the girls there, and they look at me, they start laughing. And they said, Dave, what do you expect? We're only a group of pagans. But we love you guys. And they're just being themselves. My point is, you understand where I'm coming with this, is Jesus went into an environment where it was scandalous for him to be in. And in fact, when you understand the true grace of God is not only viral, it's scandalous. It's scandalous because people are not going to understand. In fact, you see, go to the slide 16 and 7. You see, when the teachers of the law and the Pharisees saw Jesus here, they're going, oh, what happened to that? They're going, what in the world is going on? What's going on? What is your Jesus doing? Is he crazy? And he goes to their disciples and goes, why is he eating with these guys? Why is he eating with these slime balls and so forth? And so on and so forth. And they can't understand, right? Because it's counterintuitive to who we are. Even us. Have we devolved as Christians back to this way of thinking? You know, there are churches that won't even allow me when I had long hair. They wouldn't even allow me in their door because I had long hair. I miss my long hair. I miss my hair. but the idea here is, you see what's going on here. True grace is so scandalous, and they couldn't get it. So I want to. Does it bother you? Does it bother you that someone so slimy can become a Christian and be forgiven? Does it bother you that would you go eat with that person? Would you spend time with that person? Would you spend time with a druggo or a prostitute or I'm going to go there, even like a pedophile? Would you spend time talking to that person? How about the leader of ISIS who's beheading everyone? I could think of, he's one of my, like, guys, I think he's a really evil dude. You know, I think he should probably be taken away, taken out. Yet, God's mercy can reach even him. This is God's mercy. And I love the answer of Jesus here. He says, hey, guys, he says, you know, it's not the people who think they know everything that's justified, that needs me. It's the people who need a doctor. I'm going to these people to help them. That's, you see the grace of God? You see how amazing this is? Can you see how viral this could become? So I wonder what happened to all these people. I wonder how many of these sinners that Jesus ate with became believers and followed him. I wish I was a fly on a wall right there, don't you? You wish what would happen? And you see now, Jesus, everywhere he went, he made an impact like this. You see the connection. You see how viral is a simple message, meeting some needs, meeting people where they are, making significant impact. And you see socially, this probably spread all over the place. Hey, guys, you got to come check. You know, He ate with us. He spent time with us. Yeah, he preached the life-changing message of repentance and life change. But he was with us. He loved us as we are, where we are. You got to check him out. And know what the establishment did? They killed him. They killed him for it. Jesus planned it that way, but they have the responsibility. They took him out, and they got rid of him. But God's plan was to raise him from the dead after 3 days. Amen? Isn't your God amazing? Amazing. It's time to get excited in this place. So 6 weeks, we're going to go over not only how the message is viral, but how we ourselves could be contagious, could be viral, could be dangerous. Because once you're viral, you're dangerous for God. And how your life could be changed. It's amazing to see life change right in front of your eyes. It's amazing to see someone that you've been praying for come to Jesus and see how that happened. How that happened. It's amazing. That's the viral power of the gospel. You go on to the next slide, brother. And keep going, bro. So who are you in this story right here? So you understand you have Levi, who became Matthew. Talk about viral his whole life. So he wrote the book of Matthew. It's in the Bible. The Bible is the most viral book in history. People read it all over the place. And he went from a sinner to someone who was martyred for Jesus. He died for Jesus, bringing the gospel message, the viral message, all over the place. Are you him? Or are you one of the Pharisees? Are you thinking, is your mindset like that? Is your mindset like that? And then there's one question, the last thing is this. A little challenge here is this. I want to challenge you by way of application to pray that God would deeply infect you over the next 6 weeks with this gospel message. We're going to get into detail the power of God, to get into to so that our lives could go from mediocre Christians to like powerful, joyful, Spirit-filled, amazing experience with God Christians. Viral Christians that people just say, whatever you have, I want. That kind of a Christian. Are you in for the 6 weeks? Can we come here and do that together? And pray. And pray about who is your Levi? Pray. Who is God telling you, you know, what a slime ball, but somehow God's calling me to share. Just a simple message. Just say, hey, come hear the gospel. Come hear the message. Or come out to the picnic. Come follow. Let's bow our heads. Our band disappeared. Father God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for your mercy and love. And Jesus, I thank you that your gospel is unstoppable. I thank you that the message that you sent is a message that is so powerful that can change a life of a sinner to a forgiven child of God. Father, I pray, my heart's prayer is that each one of us would experience you in a deeper way today, that we would experience this power that you want us to have, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that you would help give us an infection for you, an infection for your word, that we would take this health-giving virus of grace all over to touch others with it and pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. Father, I thank you so much. I pray that if there's any burden in this room, Lord, that you would lift it from them, the people. If there's a heart burden, there's nothing too difficult for you. If there's an emotional issue right now that they can't even concentrate on anything, I pray that your spirit would just work in that heart right now. Father God, we thank you so much. And if there's anyone today that doesn't believe in you, Jesus, I pray that you would make your love real. And I'm speaking to you all now. If there's anyone here, I want you to know there's no such thing as someone that's too bad for Jesus. As you see in the story, Jesus calls people individually, and he calls them as they are, even in their junk, even in the junk of wherever you are. So if you're like that, need to know that There's forgiveness, there's mercy, there's cleansing through the power of Jesus. And what I see in the gospel is a simple matter of understanding that you're a sinner in need of grace, understanding that he can fill that emptiness, he can forgive you. It says in the scripture, Jesus says in John 6:37, those who come to me, I will never, ever drive away. Which means that if you come to Jesus, you make it. You just come to Jesus. You just follow him. He has you in his arms. You just come. Don't think this. Don't think that. Just like Matthew, just come and follow him. And he says in John 1:12, those who trust in me, those who believe on him have been given the authority to be called children of God. So there's acknowledging your sin, there's believing that Jesus died for you on the cross, and then there's confession, meaning you're confessing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and that you believe, as Romans 10:9 and 10 says, those who confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that he has been raised from the dead shall be saved. That's justified. He's here for you. If you're like that, I want you to fill that card out and say, I want to know more. I want Jesus. And we'll pray for you. We'll get back with you. Or you can go online to our message guide and do it through that connection card. We're here for you. We love you. We want to connect with you like Jesus wants to connect with us and make his love viral to the whole world. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. We're going to go into our time of offering right now.